Welcome back. This is Christina Wise, your host. In this episode, I interview Jennifer Jimenez. Jennifer is a certified transformational life and business coach, an international speaker, and author. Jennifer works in partnership with her mother, Mary Morrissey, in the Life Mastery Institute. Jennifer's companies are training centers for transformational change. Her specialty is helping people build the life of their dreams in all categories of life. Jennifer's been featured alongside some of the world's greatest thought leaders, including Marianne Williamson, Bruce Lipton, Maya Angelou, Byron Katie, Bob Proctor, Wayne Dyer, and Deepak Chopra, just to name a few. She's also been featured in many magazines, including Self, Shape, Oxygen, and Women's World. So let me ask, do you feel deep inside that you could be living a better life with more abundance, joy, love, and connection? If so, you'll wish to listen in. Jennifer shares the art and science of happiness. Please enjoy my conversation with Jennifer Jimenez. Jennifer, thank you for being on the Wealthy Wealthy podcast.
Thank you for having me. Totally thrilled to be here.
Well, I'm excited for today's conversation. And for everybody listening in, if you'll just do a quick introduction about who you are and really what, just a little bit of story, like what brought you to this exact moment in time with the work that you're currently doing?
Oh, that's a really big question. But who am I? Well, what I would say in terms of, I'll give you my titles, but I'll also share some of what really lights me up and is part of my core values and is important to me in my life. But I am a transformational life coach. I've also been passionate about health and well-being my entire life. So I'm a master health and well-being expert and do a lot of work in that field. And on the wealthy side, the money side of things, I also train transformational coaches in heart-centered enrollment. So I think a unique interviewee for you because I have this large, vast, wonderful background and experience in the mind-body-spirit connection and in health and well-being and have been lifelong passionate. And I also coach and have programs that I've done in that area. But on the other side, sales has been something that helped put food on the table for many years. And I was an award-winning salesperson and then started to really shift into recognizing the need for particularly the change agents of the world to not see sales as something sleazy or slimy and to really value who they are and what they do. And I created a 7-step enrollment system that we now train thousands of heart-centered enrollment experts and coaches and change agents in. So I share my time between both worlds. So I find it fascinating that you also have merged these two things together. So I'm really excited to, you know, explore both of these areas with you. But in my real life, you know, I'm a mom and I'm a daughter and I'm a wife. I've been married 25 years. So at the bottom of when anybody introduces me, it's always what I feel most proud of. Yes, it's being an entrepreneur and a change agent and making a difference in the lives of others. But it really is my 25-year, you know, marriage to my soulmate, my 3 amazing, healthy kids. You know, that's really what drives me. That's my why. I have a 20-year-old daughter and 2 sons, 16 and 14. And it's a busy life, you know. And I think one of the areas of mastery for any woman entrepreneur is how do you balance it all? You know, how can you live a wealthy, healthy life without giving yourself away in the process and feeling totally drained and depleted, which is really that's the thing that I work a lot with women, particularly women entrepreneurs, is how do we feel like our cup is full and we're thriving? Because guess what? If we're not thriving, that really is where the wealth lives, is in this vitality and this relationship with self so that we can be an incredible mom and do this amazing work that we've been brought here on this planet to do. So I live a lot in that question and helping people uncover and discover what that means for them.
Well, let's just jump right into that because like you said, that's a big tall order. You're a business owner, entrepreneurial, obviously sales, your mom, your wife, like you said, a daughter. This is a full life and you're into health and wellness. So taking care of self and self-care and blending that in. So that, again, tall order, just how do you do it? Let's just break it down.
Well, I think with anything, there's a couple of things that we teach in our Brave Thinking Institute. So I am the director of the health and well-being division of our family-owned personal development company. And so for those that might be interested in what that is, it's Brave as in Braveheart, B as in boy, R-A-V-E, Brave Thinking Institute.com. It's the premier institute for transformational coaching. And we have different divisions that we help people create and live a life they absolutely love living. So oftentimes, particularly women, but men and women alike will come and I have a very specific women's program called the Vibrant Healthy Woman Program. And it's a 6-month coaching program. And the first step that I invite my clients into is to recognize the longing and discontent. Our longing and discontent, we believe, is really signs and signals seeking growth. You know, it's the universe, it's your higher power helping you recognize you can be absolutely grateful in your life and also be honoring of those areas where there's longing and discontent. So the common conversation is just being overworked and underrested, feeling that, you know, we're giving of ourselves, we're taking care of everyone else's needs and putting ourselves last, you know. And so the first step is just looking at that square in the face, you know, looking at our eating habits, looking at our movement patterns, looking at our relationship patterns, looking at our relationship with self and self-image and inner confidence and saying, on a scale from 1 to 10, where are we? You know, are we feeling good? Are we feeling confident? Are we feeling like we're nourishing our mind, our heart, our bodies in ways that feel really great? Or, you know what, actually not so much. And for me, before I made a decision to follow my purpose and do this work full time, 15 years ago, I was in corporate, selling full time, totally neglecting myself, neglecting my body, very much in a money struggle conversation. Even though I was an award-winning salesperson, there was the relationship I had with money was there was never enough. You know, we'd get to the end of the month and even with the sales award, I'm still looking at the bank and going, this is not, I have a lot of longing here. You know, my kids are going to grow up and want to go to college and I want to be able to pay for college. I want to be able to buy them a car. I want to be able to do all these things. But I just felt like I was constantly working and there was never enough time. And therefore my self-care suffered and therefore my marriage was suffering. So I think there comes a point where we can either keep repeating that pattern, or I could keep repeating that pattern over and over, or I could take a look at, gee, I feel like I've maybe hit rock bottom here. You know, eating M&Ms and Diet Coke for lunch is probably not a good idea long term. You know, this is most likely going to symptomize into something way worse, either a divorce in my marriage, or either I'm going to get sick, or I'm going to have a mental breakdown, or like I can't keep this pattern going. And so it's just taking a moment and pressing pause and asking for guidance. You know, asking for guidance, asking that, I believe there is a power that is breathing each one of us that is far more powerful and we contain so much more potential than any circumstance, any situation, any condition, including a global pandemic, including how long you have been struggling with whatever you feel like you're struggling with. There is this amazing power breathing us. And in that moment, for me, the guidance was to go to this women's retreat. With my mom, actually, she would lead these weekend women's retreats. And for, you know, for people I work with, it could be your podcast, could be people are asking for guidance and all of a sudden they find themselves on your podcast and they click a specific, you know, audio. Maybe it's this one, maybe it's a different one, or they find a website, or their friend recommends a life coach, or they, you know, guidance comes when we're open and we can receive solutions and resources and tools in different ways. For me, it was unplugging from the rhythm of just like running behind the train for just a weekend, you know, and sitting in sisterhood with other women and having an incredible mentor in my mother, thought leader, who is really brilliant at asking empowering, thought-provoking, heart-opening questions, one of which is, what's your longing and discontent? And in that moment, it was everything. I'm not eating well, I'm not moving my body, and I'm a health expert. You know, like I couldn't be further from what I know is important for me. And then without knowing the how, putting the how on hold, the next question is, what would you love? You know, if you could create anything, and she'll say, and we will say now in our, you know, family business, when we work with clients, you don't have to know the how. And the how will actually get in the way of you really creating a vision, a blueprint for what you would love. But if you could create whatever you would love in four specific quadrants. So health and well-being is one, relationship with self, body, vitality. The second is your vocation. We like to call it the vocare, which is how you're giving of your gifts and talents in the world. So it's not just a job, but it's really, how are you expressing yourself? It could be philanthropy. It could be volunteering. It doesn't have to be involving a paycheck, but it can, you know, for a lot of people it will. And what does that look like? Time and money freedom. So what's your relationship with your schedule, your calendar? Are you taking the days off you want to take? Are you traveling when we can go back to traveling, of course, in this time that we're speaking at this time of this interview? Love and relationships is the fourth quadrant. And I put my relationship with self and my relationship with my higher power inside of, you know, love and relationships. And then we started crafting what we would love. And there was so much that I wanted. You know, I wanted a deeper love with my marriage. I wanted to be a more patient and joyful, playful mom. You know, I wanted to just have this relationship with self where I didn't judge myself so much. I wasn't so self-critical about my body. As a former professional dancer, there was this very negative self-image and relationship with body, with weight, you know, with what I felt like I should look like or be like. I wanted so much more abundance financially, but mostly I wanted to make a difference in the lives of others. And I wanted to really find and live fully in my purpose. And once I got clear on that, what I heard my higher self say very clearly, and I couldn't sleep that night. And I was actually sharing a room at the time with my mom. She had a big kind of one of those master rooms. And I woke her up in the middle of the night. I'm like, I can't sleep. God's telling me to go back to my job and give my 30-day notice. And I am terrified because I don't have a business plan. I don't even have really fully a business. I had launched some things, but they were struggling, you know? And I was the primary breadwinner at the time. You know, my husband is an actor, writer, producer. He has projects, but they're not bringing in that monthly paycheck to pay that rent or mortgage, you know? And she just said, you don't have to know the how, but if you're feeling truly guided to make this change in your life, I can help you. I can support you. And I called my husband and he's amazing. He was like, okay. You know, I was hoping he'd talk me out of it, but he didn't. And the next day I stood up in front of the whole retreat, just bawling, you know, that ugly shaking cry. Cause I literally felt like I was diving off of the Grand Canyon, blindfolded backwards without a net, without wings, like to my death, you know, facing sometimes the terror barrier of making a change in our life can feel very threatening to our whole self, our whole survival mechanism. And the beautiful thing though, was in that moment, I felt like I aligned with the universe. And it's hard to put into words. It feels very woo-woo, even bringing it into words, but I felt connected in a way I'd never felt before. And I have ever since been guided every step of the way. It hasn't been perfect. I have totally fallen and failed and gotten back up and tried again. And long story short, you know, over a decade later, I have a whole new relationship with my body. It's not a perfect one, but it's loving, it's accepting, it's empowering. I nourish myself with healthy food. I make sure I get the movement my body's asking for. My marriage has never been better. We just celebrated 25 years. That's a working garden where I'm cultivating and weeding and planting and harvesting inside of that. I think really my whole life's very much like a garden that I tend to on a daily basis. My kids are thriving. I'm able to pay for my daughter's college. Thank God, you know, my whole relationship with money and finances has transformed. I was able to 10x my income, and time is, I get to decide how I run my life, what I do, when I do, how I do. And I'm not done. There's so much more I continue to grow into. But that's the gist of the story. Along the way, I've created products, coaching products, programs, services. I've been featured in news and media and shared the stage with some really big names and all that. The accolades are there, but it's more just growing. You know, it's growing and giving and serving, and not just others, but also making sure that my cup is full along the way. And what I'll say is, you ask me, how do you do it? You know, at the beginning, it's small incremental changes, because I really didn't feel like I could change anything. You know, some of these patterns of thoughts, feelings, actions, results, which is the formula that we work with inside of our coaching model. It starts with how we're thinking about it. The way I was thinking about my day was, there's no time for me. Well, as long as I hold that belief, that'll be the result that I create. So we started with just a simple 5-minute tool. And I have a fun free gift that at the end of this I'll share that helps, you know, people understand what do you mean by that. You know, it's a 5-minute tool to energize the body. It's a 5-minute tool to increase self-confidence. It's little moments where you just begin to shift how you're thinking, feeling, and working with your energy. In my experience, goes a really, really long way.
Yeah. Wow. And thank you so much. And just, you know, you speak with vibrancy and passion and energy. I mean, it exudes out of you. So somewhere you're sourcing this energy, because it just, like I said, it floods out, just, and your smile and everything about you is just a beauty and energy. And it sounds like, when you're at that spot that I think so many women, men too, and with those that I work with, I have a lot of people that come because I'm a money coach and consultant and trainer and educator. So people come to me and they're just tired. They've been grinding. They've been work. They're entrepreneurs or business owners or moms, they're dads, they've been working so hard. They've been making great money, but they're just like, I'm tired. Yeah. I don't know what to do next. When one reaches that spot, what do you say? It sounds like you were there. And the first thought, like you said, the first thought is, I don't have time. I'm already, you know, I already filling every space, just try to keep things going. So what do you do to help?
Where do you start?
That, you know, get rid of that belief, because when everybody's doing everything, when people are doing everything they can to just keep things going,
yeah,
it's like, well, that sounds nice. Wouldn't that be nice to have a dream? Wouldn't that be nice to, you know, be able to, you know, XYZ?
Yeah. Well, one of the differences between, say, my Vibrant Healthy Woman coaching program, and I have a lot of entrepreneurial women who are, you know, part of this program, and your typical health and well-being coaching programs. So in my experience, and I've been in this field for decades, you know, there's a difference between a directive coaching model and what we do, which is more of an evocative, to evoke from within. So in directive health and well-being models, you stop doing your eating plan and you start doing keto, or you start doing vegan, or it's like an overnight thing. Very few, some now, but very few coaches actually dive into what are some of the beliefs you have about yourself, about food, about your weight, about what you're able to eat or not eat. And, you know, just even your relationship with your body in regards to that, right? The other directive would be, do this movement plan. You're going to do these 30 days. You're going to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. If you do this, I don't want to diss any, because I think there's room for all of it. And I think all of it can be, because I'm such a fan of, I've tried all these different things and think you can use these programs in an empowering way, but you can also engage in these programs in a very disempowering way, which is a no pain, no gain, forceful, pushing, having to, and it's not being guided from within. And people will even turn off their inner guidance that's saying, this isn't good for you, but they'll push through it anyways. And then they get injured. Why? Because their body's been telling them, don't do this. This isn't good for me. But they haven't learned how to really listen to their own inner wisdom. I believe we all have an inner physician within, this divine guidance. And so part of it is really just starting there. So oftentimes the first session is, tell me your story. You know, what were you like growing up? Were you thin growing up? Were you the fat kid growing up? You know, what messages did you receive along the way? One woman I'm thinking of is in her 70s. I'll tell you a quick story to kind of help unpack where, how do you start this process? So she was a super high level, multi-level marketing success story, built teams under her. And she had a good friend actually who died suddenly, who seemed super healthy and okay. But she realized, wow, now that I'm 70, I've been able to kind of just coast along and be pretty healthy. But she could feel internally that if she didn't make some changes, she wouldn't be the vibrant 80-year-old or 90-year-old that she really wanted. She speaks on stages. So the first thing we looked at is, well, what is it that you're not in love with? Well, I don't eat great. I eat okay. I'm not exercising at all. And I know that my body's going to atrophy over the years. And I want to keep my muscle and strength up inside of that. I work 70 hours a week. I'm not happy with how many hours I'm working, you know, and I don't feel like I have a very loving relationship with my body. And I'd like to change that. So that's kind of the snapshot of the longing. The vision is specific. I'm bouncing up on stage. I'm 80 years old and I'm being called to give a keynote speech. And I jump up, kind of bounce like a gazelle on stage. And I feel energized and I'm leaner than I, the weight was another piece. She wanted to drop some weight. I'm leaner than I am now. And, but mostly my muscles are strong and I feel energized and I'm eating healthy and I'm exercising for the first, she'd never exercised in her whole life. I'm exercising for the first time in my life and so on and forth, so forth. So what do you feel is keeping you stuck? Well, I work too many hours. I don't feel like, I don't believe that there's time to add in exercise. And not only that, but I'll start. It isn't that I don't know what to do. That's the thing. We all know basically what we should be doing. If it was enough to just know what we should do, everybody's New Year's resolutions would come true. So what is it inside of that? After a couple of weeks pass, you've been on the plan and all of a sudden, boom, self-sabotage kicks in. We call that the paradigm, right? It's an internal thermostatic setting that we all have. If you look at your money, most people make the same amount of money for many, many years. If you think about, unless there was like a big shift, like an accident or something that happened, but oftentimes that's also a wake-up call in my opinion, you know? So with her, what we were able to do is through a series of specific evocative coaching questions, which is to evoke within her this inner wisdom. There's a part of her that knows somewhere along the line, there was a belief system that got installed that even though consciously she wants to eat better and mostly the exercise, right? She'll start a walking practice. And then 2 days later, it's been a month and she hasn't walked, you know, why, what's going on there? It's an underlying belief system that's overriding her conscious desire to want to exercise. So what we were, it's fascinating what we were able to pinpoint. And again, it's through, I don't know this consciously. I can't just have a crystal ball and be like, well, when you were 12, this happened and that installed this unconscious belief system that now is overriding all of your current desires to exercise. But through questions, oftentimes the client will go, oh my gosh, I know what it is. And she was basically taught by the owner of this multi-level marketing company. This goes way back. I mean, she's 70. So like she's in her 20s, 30s when she starts. Basically said, you always need to look a certain way. Your makeup has to be done. Your hair has to be done. Your clothes have to look sharp and pristine. And there was also a message that she got around that from her mother. And so she was associating exercise with being sweaty, unkept, unprofessional, and kind of like unruly. And where she picked that up or how she picked it really didn't matter. We were able to pinpoint what that belief was. And then we were able to install, well, what would be the empowering message that you wish you had gotten, an empowering belief that you would like to install now? And it's just going to be constant space-time repetition of installing this new belief in place of the old one, consciously through rigor and through connecting with the infinite side of your nature, that divine will versus human will. Human will gets overridden, or it's overrided by the paradigm, right? These subconscious belief systems. But when you connect with the higher self and this divine will, you can override these old limiting beliefs. So what we were able to capture and also cast and craft and create was this message from this mentor and her mother that says, you have our permission. Not that they're passed away by now, you know what I mean? But you have our permission. We want you to be healthy. Of course they would. It's not, again, these things aren't conscious. They're not logical. They're often very illogical and odd, but they're in there, right? So it's shining the light of awareness on it, helping it be, you know, seen, and then crafting a new belief. And so the new belief was, you know, the more energy you have, the more you're able to give and serve and make a difference. Well, what's going to create more energy? Healthy eating and some simple movement. And we literally started with, at first she was changing her clothes, getting on exercise clothes, and then trying to get out and go for a walk. She couldn't even get her walking tennis shoes on. So I said, okay, scratch it. We're not even going to do that. Here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Through divine will, because you're tapping into the higher part of you that knows if you do this walking, you're going to feel better, you're going to have more energy, you're going to be more fit. So you're going to just walk outside in your heels. If you do this walk in your 3-inch high heels, I don't care. You know, you're going to be in your suit, hair and makeup done, heels. You're just going to walk outside. You're going to walk around the block or just out to the street and back. But it's really about just installing a new thought pattern, a new feeling pattern, and then a new result. And then you're going to stop and take a breath, and you're saying, I'm doing this thing. I'm doing this thing. And then say the empowering belief, which is, I am worthy, or I forget exactly what it was, but it was something like, I'm healthy, I'm vibrant, I'm worthy of feeling this good. My mother and my mentor are giving me full permission and acknowledging and celebrating me for, you know, installing a new healthy pattern. And it started like that. It started with just a minute. And then we moved it to 5 minutes. And then we moved it, instead of once a week, to twice a week. Because what really fails is she was saying, I want to walk 5 days a week, an hour a day. Well, the paradigm, the limiting beliefs have a heyday with that. You might get through one day of that. You know, when my clients come in and they've got these massive changes they want to make, I'm like, that's awesome. But that's only going to last through sheer willpower for a very short period of time. You know, we're looking for lifelong results, not a short-term solution. That's one way.
Yeah, no, thank you. There's, again, that's just such a rich story, and there's so many nuggets in there. How do you work with the unworthiness? Like, how much of the unworthiness really is built into that subconscious belief system, and that is really self-sabotaging so many results?
Yeah, that's a really great and big question. So again, it's a similar process. And actually, let me tell you the end of that story. She released 15 pounds. She now has a weekly walking practice that she loves. And she bounces up on stage to do her keynotes. And she's eating healthier than ever. But it just started with these little baby steps, right? So unworthiness is a similar process. Number one, it's as much as we possibly can recognize where this sense of unworthiness got installed. Now, this isn't therapy, but there are some pretty obvious, you know, places that people can recall. So if there's ever been any mental, physical, or sexual abuse in history, that is trauma. So trauma can create this sense of unworthiness and not enoughness, including if we were told by our parents or teachers or coaches, you're not enough, you're not good enough, you're not doing it enough. You know, there's that piece. Society does a great job. Our Western culture sells sex and beauty, and it triggers a very specific part of our amygdala in our brain, right? So we're told you can't have wrinkles, you can't have anything that jiggles. You know, we have a massive fat phobia in our country. You know, we're told if you have any extra weight on you, that's unhealthy, and that's going to cause all these health problems, which just isn't actually factual. You know, are there weight and health issues association? Sure. But there are just as many seemingly overweight people who are perfectly healthy and vibrant and love themselves and love their bodies and are doing great, but they're being told they're not good enough and they should lose weight and they're wrong and all these things, right? So it's one of the first things I do in the program is start to challenge some of these belief systems and a lot of the messages that we've been handed, particularly in the Western world, because you can go to other countries, and in some places, in some tribes in Africa, they actually have the bride. Like here, I'll just give you a perfect example of the differences in cultural training and paradigms of belief systems. So the average woman right now, 90% of women hate their bodies, not just dislike, but actually hate their bodies. The average woman, Western woman, spends 17 years on a diet. I mean, it's just, I could go on and on and on. So what do brides typically do? If you watch any of these brides show, they're starving themselves to get as skinny as they possibly can. First of all, where did that come from? Where did that even come from? Why is that a desirable outcome? You know, I could go into the history of it. I mean, if we go back, it's definitely an installed, ingrained, thin is beautiful, better, blah, blah, blah. Now, I watched a show maybe a couple of years ago, and it was this African tribe, and the bride, they were plumping her up for her wedding, complete opposite paradigm. So she's eating all this food and they're like massaging her fat and they're getting her plump and round. And that's the epitome of healthy, wealthy, success, beauty to get her ready for her wedding. And, you know, is this one wrong? Is this one wrong? There's no wrong. It's a belief system. It's simply a paradigm. And so I start by just unpacking, you know, where did some of this, if we're feeling unworthy, typically we're comparing ourselves to a standard or an idea that we feel like we should live up to. It's either our mother saying, you need to do this, you should be that, or our father, or somewhere along the line, we got this picture that unless we were this, 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 and this, we're not good enough. Right. And so when we start to unpack, well, where did those ideas come from? Where did you hear it first? And what's real? We can lay it all on the table and then start to install new empowering beliefs one at a time. You know, that my weight does not determine my worth. I mean, how many women feel like if they stand on the scale and they weigh a certain amount, I'm going to have a great day today. I lost 2 pounds. Or the next day I've now gained 2 pounds and I have a shit day. Excuse my French. I don't know if you swear on your podcast, but you know what I mean? You know, I'm going to have a horrible day because I've gained 2 pounds. I mean, again, these are all just internal worthiness belief systems. So we don't look at a tree and say, wow, that's a fat tree, that's a skinny tree. We just marvel in beauty. And yet with the human self and the human body, all of a sudden we have all these rules and expectations around what is beautiful and what is, you know, what does success look like for each person? So we just, part of it's just unpacking where some of these belief systems came from. And one of the practices that I teach my clients is just press the pause button on the 3 C's. So it's criticism, it's that inner critic, and it's comparison, right? And so if we're criticizing ourselves or others, oftentimes there's that inner, you know, critic, that judgment. But the comparison one is like poison to our self-image. There's always going to be somebody who has more money or less money, who's thinner and fitter or fatter and unhealthier, who's got the bigger house or the smaller house. So rather than anytime I find myself I encourage my clients to find themselves comparing, and we often will compare ourselves to an image of perfection that we feel we should live into. Or we compare ourselves to a former version of ourselves. Like my older women, you know, we're like, oh my gosh, I thought I was so fat 20 years ago, but I was actually thin, you know, or my arms used to look like that. And now I don't feel good about my arms because I've got wrinkles or whatever, you know, and there's just this comparison game versus just being in the moment and just showering ourselves with gratitude, with appreciation, for praise. Self-praise is a big one. You're looking good today. Noticing something about yourself that you can appreciate, that you can feel good about, that you can acknowledge. I mean, I have clients that have such horrible self-esteem issues, and you would never know. I mean, they're running multi-million dollar businesses. They're wearing Louis Vuitton. You know, they've got all kinds of bells and whistles, the things that most people admire, and yet they can't find one thing to praise or love about their body. I mean, that's in my opinion, so sad, you know? And so with this one client I'm thinking of, you know, we were doing some self-esteem and self-image work together. And I said, so, you know, what's one thing you could praise that you could celebrate about your body? And she was like, nothing. I can't even think of anything. And I was like, okay, well, what about the tip of your, what about your ears? Like, what about your earlobe? What about the tip of your pinky toe? You know, what about the curve in the back of your neck? You know, is there anything that you could, because what we will often do is whatever you focus on expands. So if you were always told you have a fat belly, somewhere along the line, you got that message. And then now today, whether you have a fat belly or you don't is really irrelevant. It's the message that we've been given and that we agree to accept. So instead of that, I encourage my clients to let's go deeper, because that's just adipose tissue. First of all, our body needs adipose tissue for certain functions. Our brain needs a certain amount of fat in order to function properly. So if we go beneath the adipose tissue, what's actually underneath that? You have fascia, you have muscles, you have ligaments. Under that, you have all of your vital organs that are just beneath that fat belly that you're sending all this negative energy to. I believe that whatever we think, that thoughts become things, that this energy has a vibration to it, right? So if we have all this self-loathing, eventually it does break down the body and our immune system, and it's all interconnected. So what we want to be doing is sending loves. We'll have them hold their belly and thank their intestines for digesting and processing the food, and send some love into their gut. And we have more neurotransmitters in the gut than we do in the brain. There's that gut-brain connection, and to all the vital organs, and just thank the body, because the body is tirelessly working for vital health. The body doesn't lie. We just get in our body's way, you know, but the body's working so hard to digest that food and to turn that food into fuel and nourishment to energize us to do the work that we want to do. So we want to be as grateful and thankful to the body as possible, so that the shifting the C from criticism to praise, from comparison to just appreciation, is really one of the tools that we start working with inside of this process.
Yeah. And I mean, really what's sticking out to me with everything that you've said is it's really getting underneath. We're just a bunch of beliefs and limiting beliefs and like you said, just beating ourselves, like all this different conditioning that's really deeply patterned. So the results aren't happening many times because we're being led by these belief systems we're not even aware of. So until it's really like you said, you're evoking what's underneath, like what emotions are really there? Is it criticism or appreciation? Evoking what is the dissatisfaction that's looming that you're not aware of, that maybe if you bring that to light, we can change that. And where are your dreams? Because maybe you've lost them, because when people get jaded over time, they're thinking, oh, my dreams don't even matter anymore. So right. It gets very disconnected. And like you said, this thermostat just becomes one deep pattern where kind of just, that becomes the status quo.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I'm curious. So a couple different things as we're bumping up against time is, what would you say, again, being a mom, entrepreneur, business owner, you've got a really busy life, you're uber successful and obviously very healthy and yada, yada, yada. Share some gems about your marriage. Like what do you do to keep that just so alive? 25 years later, it sounds like you both really appreciate each other and it's a really rock solid marriage. And again, in the scope of a busy life.
Yeah, that's a really, really great question. I mean, that's a book, right? To write a book. But what's coming up to share in this moment is something that's really helped me is recognizing our love languages. I don't know if you've heard the Love Languages book, but everyone, it also helps me be an even better mom, or I seek to be. I don't know. I guess we'll see when the kids are older and they'll report how I did. But, you know, that's my desire. So it's to recognize what the other person is needing in terms of feeling appreciated. I mean, we all have this internal drive, this desire to be seen, acknowledged, appreciated, you know, recognized, heard, being heard. I mean, those are just our human fundamental needs. So with my spouse as being the primary partner at home together that he has access to receiving that from me, what are the ways that he wants to feel seen? So one of my husband's love languages is acts of kindness, right? So I'll see if, I don't know if I can remember, and Christina, if you remember them, but it's acts of kindness, it's words of praise or appreciation, it's gifts, it's tangible, like touchy feeling hugs, kisses, you know, appreciation in that way. And then is there one more that I'm missing? I'm trying to think if
there's, I can't remember it though.
Like four or five, but yeah. So for my husband, it's very much, and part of how you know how they want to be loved is oftentimes the default way that they show you love is actually how they want to be loved. Right? So he'll at times just do small little things like bring me a cup of water in the middle of my day. We both work from home. So he'll just bring me water. And it's his small act of kindness way of saying, hey, honey, I was thinking about you and I wanted to bring you water as a way to say a silent, because he knows I'm in session. So you know what I mean? He'll just hand it to me. And I feel very, you know, loved and seen. And so I'm like, okay, I'm taking note in how is he showing up? So what's one thing I could do, you know, for him, even though I'm not a cook, I don't really love the kitchen, although some people do, it's where they light up. For me, I'd much rather be cooked for, but he doesn't cook. So we kind of are in this interesting place. But it, what's great about him though, is one of the ways to his heart is through food. But he's not picky about it. So I could just make him a piece of honey cinnamon toast and bring it to him. And he's like, you know, it's the little things. Honestly, one of the things I'll say is it's the little things. And there's a couple of brave thinking tools that we teach as a family. One is to shovel while the piles are small, meaning you don't let an irritation like, you know, fester. If there's something going on, you just come and you have a 5-minute sweaty conversation. You say, you know, I'm taking full responsibility and here's how I felt, not here's how you made me feel, but here's how I felt about that. Here's what happened. Here's how I felt. You know, here's what I would love moving forward. And you just kind of bring it to light versus letting all these little irritations pile up until all of a sudden there's just this huge wall, you know, between you. The other one of my favorites is called the do-over. So if I've like barked at my kids or, you know, I mean, we've all been under a huge amount of pressure and stress and uncertainty, especially right now, you know, during these times. And so I've noticed at times I have a little less patience, and I think it's just having chronic, this has been a traumatic experience, even though not a huge amount has changed for me and I'm super grateful and blessed. But at the same time, it's just a low level for some of us, prolonged stress eats away at our patience, you know? And so I'll notice at times I'm a little shorter with my kids and then I'll say, you know what, let me pause. I'm going to catch myself in that moment. I'd really love a do-over. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to bark at you. Let me say this in a more loving way. So it's catching those moments. And then, you know, carving out time together like I would schedule an appointment with the doctor, making that a non-negotiable, no matter what. We have a weekly date night. Sometimes it's not weekly. Sometimes it turns into twice a month or even once a month, but we're both on each other saying, hey, it's date night, you know, and even if we just sit out in the car and order takeout or, you know, like right now we haven't been doing our normal date night, you know, so we've been getting creative with just how to be together. But those are some of the big rocks of what's working for me.
Yeah. And again, I just love it a couple decades later and you're still lit up talking about them. So
I'm so grateful.
Oh, I love that. All right. Flip it around, just mom, daughter. How is it growing up with your mom and that type of relationship, like a mom-daughter relationship?
Yeah. You know, it's fascinating going through these different stages, right? Because when I was younger, I needed more time, more energy, more attention. I really craved being seen and acknowledged. you know, and then as I went into my teenage years, that's when it's natural to start pulling away. And so I challenged things and whatnot. I still needed to have her around. And then I flew away from the nest, you know, at 18, I moved out and I never came back, and needed to find myself and separate my identity from her identity. And then as I, you know, became a wife and then a mother, particularly when my daughter came in, I felt a new, need for just be able to have that sounding board. What do I do now? And also push back against some of the things that she did that I'm like, no, we don't do that now. Like the new science is you don't give a baby honey. She's like, oh, I gave my babies honey. You know what I mean? And you kind of challenge the old beliefs with the new beliefs and respecting each other. And honestly, it's, I think for both of us, just a willingness to, and a core value of connection and a desire to continue to leave that, communication open and to find our way. There's definitely been moments where we butted heads. I would say in general, we've had a very loving, connected relationship over the years, but we've had our ups and downs and our moments. And I think it really boils down to core values. Like if both people have a core value of relationships, I think it makes it a lot easier. And in our case, that's a huge driving factor in our life is the importance and the value of family and connection. So, you know, we've been able to create that.
I love that. Well, I love that it's really a family affair. You guys have built just a really beautiful family business while at the same time, you all have your very distinct categories and expertises and roles. And it's really beautiful what you all have, what you've built. And just the love and impact that you're making in the world, you know, and it is really through love and kindness. All right, just a few more questions to wrap us up. And tell me something, if you said, Christina, if you really, really knew me, you would know that. Tell me something that most people don't know about you.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, which I don't know that you know or not, is I love conscious dance and mind body movement for the purpose of transformation. I have a modality that I've created where I've combined everything I've learned over the last 20 years. I've been teaching it for 20 years, but I continually grow it, and it's called Transcend Dance. So if there's one thing for me that will light me up today, it'll be some really inspiring, motivating music and then allowing my body just to move to that music. And I feel like it unlocks and unleashes and heals and creates an amazing vibrational energy that fuels everything else in my life. So we hadn't talked about that yet. I would definitely say that's something that is at the, it's like the heartbeat of my work comes from this love of mind body movement, dance, and dance, not just, hey, let's learn this cool move, which I also have done my whole life. I was a professional dancer and love all kinds of movement, including the martial arts and cultural dance and traditional dance and all of it. There's room for it all. And yet for me, this essence of dance for healing and transformation, I feel our world is craving right now. I feel is medicine for our soul, medicine for our mind, our mental health, our emotional health, and our physical health. In ways that, I mean, if you go back and back to the tribal times, I mean, if you look at any tribe today, they dance. And it's not a choreographed dance. It's a
soulful.
It's a soulful connection to the earth for rain or for harvest. During wedding celebrations to celebrate, we still dance at weddings, but you know, it's like three drinks and then we're going to break it up. And, you know, and we dance to mourn, they dance to mourn and they dance to create and they dance to prepare for battle. And it's a use of energy that I think we've lost. And, one of my greatest passions and missions is to bring that back in a beautiful, supportive way into the world where people can remember this ancient medicine and bring it forth in their life in really powerful ways.
Well, I love that. And you'll have to direct me where to go because you got me. So tell me where I can find the music and where the dance moves.
Yeah. Well, if you transcenddanceonline.com. That's really the portal and the hub for everything I'm doing conscious dance wise. You could also just go to my personal Facebook page, Jennifer Joy Jimenez, and I post right now I'm posting invitations to monthly Transcend Dance virtual, because we're not doing it in person. So I have hundreds of people that'll come into Zoom and I'll play music and guide us through this great healing transformational process. It's a ton of fun. So, yeah.
All right. Well, count me in on that one.
Okay.
All right. So share with me a brag moment. What's something you're really proud of?
A brag moment. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, gosh, like I said earlier, there's a lot that I've created, you know, physically created the programs and products and that tangible work, you know, my Transcend Dance modality. I now train facilitators. I'm so proud of that. But I would say if I were to, you know, not that we have to choose, but for me, you know, being a mom and feeling successful as a mom and a wife and my marriage are really, I truly am most proud of that. And actually what brought me to conscious dance was my daughter's birth. And I, you know, I was raised with metaphysics and mind body connection. And so to do the condensed version of the story, I trained my mind to manifest a natural birth like you would train to climb Mount Everest. I mean, I put in thousands of hours. And I couldn't have had a more opposite birth. I had a 50-hour labor. And it was perfect though, because it helped me realize, oh, there's more to it than just thinking the thoughts of manifestation. I was trying to create a natural birth the way I was running my energy, control and force. Well, there couldn't be a more opposite energy needed for birth than push. You cannot push and control the birth process. So it was really the portal. You know, oftentimes we turn our mess into our message, right? So for me, it was, wow, there's so much more. And that's when I started to dive into the books and the mentors and the teachers and the trainings around the mind-body connection in particular. And one of my greatest, I think, accomplishments was then with my son 4 years later, doing the work that was required to completely transform my relationship with self and my body, to be able to move into flow, love, creation, co-creation, to bring forth that baby in the birth of my dreams. It was a 2-hour birth. It was all natural. It was everything I thought I could create, but didn't the first time. And I knew I had touched on something. And then my, you know, third birth was similar, but faster, you know, and not that I was going for fast, but I knew that that energy, because it's not about necessarily birthing a baby, although it was about how do I create anything? How do I bring forth new life, new ideas, whether it be a goal or a dream or something that I'm creating? I'm either pushing, forcing, controlling, criticizing into form, or I've released control and expectation. I can have a system and something I'm seeking to follow, but it's really surrendering. It's surrendering to this power breathing me. It's trusting that my body is wise and knows more than my head. Because women have been birthing things for, you know, so many years. And that same energy I was able to bring forth everything that I do, you know, my new company and the programs that serve people and, you know, just be in a much greater sense of flow in my life. And I mean, that touches everything I do, every relationship I'm in. And it's so important, you know, to live from that place.
Yeah. And I can just see, you know, in the conscious movement is like the body is movement. You know, there's some mind, body, spirit. We use these terms, but usually we're still in our head thinking these things as opposed to really just get into the body and feeling and dancing and moving with, you know, whatever is meant to flow.
Yeah.
All right. So one final question I ask all of my guests is to bust a myth. Is there a big fat lie out there that you'd like to call out from your own perspective?
Yeah, I think just to go back in general to the question you had about worthiness, and I just, you know, am saying this to myself in my own eyes, to you, Christina, and to anyone listening or watching, that you are enough. You don't need to make more money. You don't need to lose those 10 pounds. You don't need to wipe away all of the wrinkles and have no aging whatsoever in your face, that just as you are, and I'll use the G word, which I know is a little taboo, but God, your higher power, spirit, universe, whatever you want to call it, has made you perfect and whole. And this body of yours, this amazing chalice for your soul, is the perfect vehicle to bring forth your fulfillment, your potential, your radiance, your energy and life, and to, you know, really just enter into this feeling of enoughness. And you don't have to believe it yet, but you can believe in my belief that I believe you're enough just as you are.
Well, that's a perfect place to end. So we're going to put a link to the show notes to all the beautiful gifts that you've offered and make it really easy for everybody to follow you. I'm going to get in to look at the Transcend Dance, and that's my next action with you. And
I created a gift just for your listeners, so that, you know, there's an opportunity to track all of that. And if they go to bravethinkinginstitute.com/confidence-kit. So it's bravethinkinginstitute.com, which is our basic website, but then /confidence-kit, I've created a downloadable ebook and a guided meditation that really helps us increase our confidence. And there are 3 5-minute power practices that really help little by little to install a greater sense of energy, self-love, vitality. And so that's a free gift for your viewers, listeners, from me to you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. I know how busy you are, and you're taken away from that beautiful life to be here with us. So thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. If you're inspired by today's show and you're the kind of person who likes to help others, there are some easy ways that you can help me. First, please subscribe to the Wealthy Wealthy podcast. By doing so, it helps both of us. You'll never miss an episode, and it helps me and my ratings. And if you're able to leave a review, hopefully 5 stars, even better. Finally, if you think your friends and family would enjoy the show, I invite you to share the Wealthy Wealthy podcast with everyone you know. If you have any questions, I'm here. You can email me at support@wealthywealthy.com.